Just a quick reminder back there. The rule around here is if the kids get loud, the preacher gladly gets louder. No problems. In fact, it's music to our ears. Don't worry. That's right. Amen. That was an heads amen. Can everybody say amen? All right. There you go. So there's Jesus, and he's out in the he's out by the lake, and people are following him. Guys in the boat have just been out fishing. You know, fish at night, apparently. They're all night out there. They're coming in. They're cleaning their nests. They're doing all the work that the last thing anybody that's done any kind of work at all knows, the last thing you want or the hardest thing is at the end when you got to clean everything up and you got to prepare it, put it away for the next day. I hate that. Everybody hates that. So there they are doing that thing. You know, they got to do it. And here comes this guy, this landlubber, Jesus. And he gets into one of the boats. And then he says, do me a favor, will you? Let me set the boat out a little way so I can talk to the crowd. I understand the acoustics are a lot better from the boat. So let me just get out there. I totally get Jesus on this. I totally do. Because probably everybody in here, just about everybody in here, has had me ask them for an inconvenient favor. Right? You know, hey, Sue Baker, I know you're in the middle of quinceañera and you got six dresses you got to mend, but could you take my alb in a little bit, please? Right? You've heard that, right? Hey, Martin, you know what? I know you do a lot of stuff around here, but could you fix the fire things up there, the buzzers up there so they don't beep all the time? Right? Terry, hey, Terry, where are you? Terry, I got a noise in my car. Could you look at it? I know you look at cars all day, but could you do that for me, please? This is what Jesus, this is the spirit of Jesus doing. It's like, what is this? What's he doing? Okay. But Peter, yep, just like everybody here, they say, okay, and gets out in the boat, which is pretty cool. It's nice to understand that part. But what would really make it bad is if I said to Sue Baker, let me go with you. I've got some ideas about how to mend this thing. Let me tell you how to do it, Sue. You've been doing this your whole life, but let me help you with that, right? You know, hey, Chuck, I'm going to help you with your computer. Help you fix my computer. Is that all right? This is the spirit, right? Jesus is a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. And yet he says to the fishermen who've been working all night, all right, now I'm done. Put your boats out to the sea and put out a net in the deep water. And Peter is like, oi, oi, landlubbers. Okay, all right, if you say so, we'll do it. But I'm sure he's not happy about it. Out they go, let down the nets, and of course here comes the miraculous catch of fish, right? And this just sends Peter all. He says, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Right? It's so beautiful. It's also very interesting that what had just happened last week. Remember last week? All the people at Nazareth, what were they trying to do? Drive Jesus out of town, right? And now here's Jesus, but they're doing it with malice in their minds. He's doing it with like, I can't believe this. This is, what he's really thinking is this miraculous haul of fish is a sign. It's a sign of the kingdom of God. It's a sign that can be done by the Messiah who we've been waiting for forever. Could this be the guy? The Messiah? And when he thinks that, he thinks, I am a sinful man, get away from me. And beautifully, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people. You're joining me. We're going out. I just love that. So, and unfortunately, part of the time when we think about fishing for people, we think about that big load of fish, right? And how are we going to get all those fish into what we usually tend to think of as, let's get them into church, right? Well, you know, I don't think that's quite exactly what we have in mind here. I tend to think of it this way. Years ago, I was in a raft. We were doing some whitewater rafting, right? And we were on the Arkansas River, and we were in we got to a place called Quarter Mile Falls, yeah. It is rapids, really hard rapids for a quarter mile. And I know because I swam every quarter mile. The whole quarter mile. Got to the very first rapid, and I went to paddle, and there was all of a sudden no water there. We were up in the air. Well, nope, there's no water for resistance, so I just went whoop right into the water. The beginning of the, it is kind of funny, so I'm going down, now I'm swimming. And the first thing the guy who's the raft guide says to me is, hold on to your paddle. And I said, I'm holding on for my life. What do you mean the paddle? What's so great about the paddle? But of course he knew that if I got close enough to the boat, I could put the paddle up. So I grabbed the paddle. But I'm swimming, and we try to get close, can't make it. But he's got a whole bunch of people in the boat still, so he's got to take care of them. He's got to get the boat through the rapids, right? And so he's riding the rapids the best he can, keeping an eye on me, but also realizing he's got to get through these very difficult rapids. So I'm floating down, and we try a couple times. Doesn't work. Can't get in the boat. I'm still swimming. And finally, this guy, he does this. He's like, He's telling everybody, keep paddling, and they're getting close to me, and he says, keep paddling, and they start saying, but we're going to run over him, and he says, keep paddling, and sure enough, they land the raft right on top of me, not down into the water, and I was like, oh, this is weird, and then I think, oh, this is right, this is good, because now I'm oriented, the boat's above me, I can move over to the edge like this. And sure enough, there's people waiting to yank me into the boat. They yank me into the boat, and the guide keeps saying, keep paddling. He's right, I don't even have time to thank anybody or anything. I'm grabbing my paddle, and I'm paddling. And we get through the rapids. Now, the point of it is this. We're all in the rapids, okay? When Jesus says we're going to go fish for people, he's not saying, you all are doing great, you're nice and comfortable, and we need you to reach in off the shore and maybe grab in somebody who's swimming the rapids. Not at all. What he's saying is, we're in the rapids, we're all in this thing together. And sometimes you're in the boat and you're paddling, and we're here, we're worshiping, we're praying, we're serving the community, we're doing all those things that you do when you're paddling. Right? When the church is going, it's about its business, but it's always still in the water. And once in a while, there's people we come across who are just not in the water, who are not in the boat, they're in the water, but that means is that they're struggling. Right? They're making sure their life is such that they put their feet down river and they're just trying to fight off the rocks that keep coming up in their life. And that's the kind of folks where you say, these are people we need to be fishing for. We need to get them out of the rapids. We need to get them into the boat. We need to get them into some safety. We need to offer them something so that their life is not totally out of control. And so, we can go fishing. And it's not a sense of we've got it all together. It's the sense that, oh, we were out there. We know what it's like to have to swim those rapids. And we know people need a hand. And that's it. It's with humility that we begin to think about how can we help people who are in the river, who are in the rapids. That's the sense of going fishing. And we do it not because we need to get more people into church. We do it because that's what the church does. We find folks who like us, who also, by the way, like Isaiah, who says, I am a man of unclean lips, and amongst the people of unclean lips, woe is me. And the little piece of fishing that happens is the seraphim takes a coal and touches Isaiah's lips and says, you have been made clean. Now, let's go fishing. And St. Paul, he says, I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, St. Paul, who was Saul, He thought he was doing God's work by actually arresting and bringing people to prison who believed in Jesus. That's what he thought he was doing, and he thought he was in a great boat. He was out in the river. And it's only when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, right? And bam, knocks him right down. He realizes, oh my gosh, I've been in the rapids the whole time. And a disciple named Ananias comes and yanks him out into the boat, lays hands on him so that he can see again, and lets him receive the Holy Spirit. And this Saul, who was breathing threats and murders against the church, becomes the least of the apostles, but an apostle proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's Peter, who also already he makes the confession, I am a sinful man, get away from me. He hadn't seen anything yet concerning his own sinfulness. Because later on, when it really counts, Jesus denies Jesus 3 times. And thus becomes complicit with those who crucified Jesus. He's in the rapids again. And Jesus says, comes to him after the resurrection and says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Get back in here with me. Peace. So, it's not just about the multitude. It's about people who are out there individually. And it happens. And I had 2 great experiences of fishing for people this week. Excuse me. One kind of mundane, kind of, because I was fishing for a piano player. I don't know what the deal is, but there's a rule among piano players that when one is unavailable, none are available. This is like, it happens every time, right? Somebody, one of the, our musician is sick or whatever, I have to find somebody, you know, oh, somebody's just had knee surgery, another person's sick, another person's out of town, just a bing, bing, bing all this week, and it's like, okay, so I don't know what I'm going to do, except I'm thinking, oh, Jan Ellis. And I emailed her, and she said, yes. And I was like, all right. Yeah, it was just great. And you're doing a great job. Yes. Okay. All right. So that was the first one. But this other one, I really want you to, this one. So there's a woman who's, this story is true, but some of the details have to be changed for privacy, okay? So anyway, this is a woman, and she's talking to me, and her stepson is having trouble because he hasn't been going to school, and he's 11 years old, and he's behind in things, and he's struggling. And she's been trying to help him and stuff, and she was sharing with me this great little thing that he'd said, that she tries to give him something to read that he can read, and then asks, and then she says, give me the, you know, a little synopsis of this book. Give me a little, she doesn't say synopsis, but, you know, tell me what this book was about. Write it out. Well, she got a message from him saying, I want to do this, but can we wait until you get home because it's much more fun when you're here. Sweet, right? And she was saying, and yeah, so, you know, he needs a tutor, but I'm doing what I can, and da-da-da-da. So I'm listening, and she finishes the story, and I said, that is such a beautiful story. Yeah, it's so great that this kid loves you and wants to be with you. But what I really heard was he needs a tutor. And so I said, does he still need a tutor? And she said, yes, I've tried everything. I've called everybody I know. Nobody, there's no tutors. They're too expensive, but they're not available. La, la, la. And I said, wait a second. Bam, right? And it comes to me. I know exactly who I'm going to call. And so I said, let me make a phone call. And so I make a phone call. I call a person I think is going to be the right person. And she says, absolutely. I'd love to do that. I'm like, all right. So I call back to the other woman. I said, I got you a tutor. And not just any tutor, the best tutor in the valley. The most loving, the most conscientious tutor that I know. And this woman just starts crying. She said, you won't believe it. I have asked everybody. And here God delivers a person that will do this for me. And she says, thank you so much. And I said, thanks be to God. Here's a woman who is fishing for a tutor. And the important thing isn't that she's found a tutor. The important thing, the thing that is really what Jesus is up to, is that that little kid is going to get what he needs. He's going to get support and love and education and self-confidence. The kid's life is going to be changed. I call that really good fishing. And that's what I think Jesus is calling us to. Don't get distracted by the fish, the many, many thousands of fish. That's not the point. The point is lives will be changed. That God's love will be expressed. That people who are riding the rapids of life can be hoisted up. Not by people who think they're better, but by people who have been down there themselves and know what it's like. My favorite phrase for evangelism, definition of evangelism, is this. It's one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. In this case, it's one fish telling another fish how they got schlepped out of the rapids in order for them to be able to give a hand to others. It's evangelism. That's what it is. So, don't worry. You have already been fishing for people. You can all tell stories like the one I just told, I promise. I know that's true. And hold on to that. Because that's what we're called to. You will fish for people. Don't worry. Amen.